Morning all. Our first reading today is from Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on the rock. And he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Sorry. Our second reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the word of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope is for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you also share in our comfort. Thank you, Lord.
Karen forgot to say the young man who's bringing the message as well. Where is he? Right here. Mr. Tony. Okay. Andrew recently spoke from the book of Joshua, because he's been working through Joshua. And for me, I've been working through the book of Psalms. I thought I would read through the book of Psalms. I thought, 150, probably one a day, about 5 months to work through them all. I've been going through Psalms now for more than 7 months. I'm still up to only 50-something. It's just amazing. There's so much meat in the Psalms, and so much reality that the psalmists just often just pour out their heart and say things sometimes that we think, oh, I'd never say that in church, but the psalmist is just not afraid to pour out his heart to God. I hope we're going to see some of that today. So, of course, not all the Psalms were written by King David, but many of them were. And the one we're going to focus on today is written by David. So just want to think a little quick recap. What does the Bible tell us about King David? We first meet him as a shepherd boy. The Bible says he was handsome, which is nice, but he was also a faithful shepherd and looked after the sheep. And at many times, when the wild animals came, it says lion and a bear, David killed them. It's all happening today, isn't it? Got sirens outside. And David would have spent a lot of time outside in the quiet, alone with God, thinking about God, practicing his slingshot, and working hard as a shepherd. And of course, God honored that and chose him to be the leader. And when Goliath came, all the troops, all the Israeli soldiers were melting with fear. But David wasn't. He said, how can you let this guy say all this stuff against our God? For the people, Goliath was too big. For Goliath was a big target he couldn't miss. And of course, God enabled David to kill him. There are many paintings and sculptures showing David as the powerful king around the world. And one of them is a statue of David in Florence. I had to cover the middle part because it wasn't appropriate for church in Italy. That's amazing, 5.17 meters high. You can see the people at the bottom. There's a huge, huge statue of David made out of one huge block of marble. between 1501 and 1504 by Michelangelo. So many people in art and sculpture have honored David. Anybody seen that? Oh, okay, some people have been there. Yeah, I haven't. I should go and visit my namesake. Yeah. And David was a powerful king. He defeated many of Israel's enemies, especially the Philistines, and was really popular with the people. So yes, King David was a courageous and mighty warrior. There's that side of it. But he was also pursued by King Saul. Before he came king, Saul was jealous and tried to kill him. And his life was in real danger many times. He was often in hiding or on the run. And his life, as we'll see, was far from perfect. We've got this image of David, the wonderful king, but he wasn't all perfect in any way. In the Psalms of David, we often see examples of him crying out to God in trouble. I'll just read a few of them. In Psalm 5, verse 1, he says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help." Psalm 6, verse 3, "My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?" Have you ever prayed a prayer like that to God? Psalm 10, verse 1, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" In the same way that David is honest in the Psalms, we too can be honest with God. And in the psalm we're looking at today, it's a longer psalm, but there's so much in the first three verses. I'm just going to focus on the first three verses of Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. We're going to dig into that a little deeper. All right, so in the psalm today, we can see David is in a slimy pit. Doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Slimy pit. When I thought about being in a pit, it immediately reminded me of another couple of Bible stories where people were actually in literal physical pits. Joseph, of course. Remember Joseph? The dreamer, his brothers called him. He got a special coat from his father and got favored treatment. And the brothers were fed up and decided to kill him. In this story in Genesis 37, I won't read it all, just the middle part. They said, "Don't shed any blood, throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. We know the story well. We know the end of the story. But at that time, Joseph had no idea. He was just in the pit, no way out. I don't think it was a pleasant place for him to be at all. He was probably pretty scared to death. Didn't know what would happen to him. Another slightly less known story is of Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah to prophesy to the people, to go to Babylon, to settle down in Babylon, and he would bring them back again. But some of the people didn't like that, and the enemies of Jeremiah, again, we have the idea of a pit in Jeremiah 38. I'm not going to read all of it. But the last part, they took Jeremiah and put him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down into the mud. Once again, a muddy pit. No way out. Jeremiah was doing what God wanted him to do. God told him to prophesy to the people. The people didn't like it, and that was his outcome. In a muddy pit. Sometimes we think if we do God's will, everything is going to be fantastic and easy and smooth, but it's not like that. It's important to remember that life for us as Christians sometimes can be hard, even when we're walking the way that God wants us to be. So, what's it like in a pit? I want to show us a little video now of a dog in a pit. Animal lovers, don't worry, this is part one of the video. Part two is coming later, okay? Thank you, Anna. to leave you with that picture. It's not a very nice picture, is it? But it's not a nice place to be in a pit. And David found himself in a pit in that psalm. And he said it was a slimy pit. It's a very, very graphic word choice. I tried to think of the word slime and came up with some pictures there for slime. You think of kids often play with that. Have you felt that stuff that's slimy, green, gooey slime? Actually feels quite nice on your hands, but some people don't like it on their hands. And snails? For some reason, I don't mind snails, but slugs are not my favorite. Yeah? Really slimy. And the last picture on there is a food called fufu. When I was working as a missionary in West Africa, in the country of Togo, it's a French-speaking country in West Africa, we went on a trip to a little African village, and the family prepared a meal for us. The rule is, as a missionary, you don't say no when people prepare you food, because they've worked hard, and that's their way of showing their love. So I remember very clearly we had this salad, we had this very spicy fish, and we had this fufu. It's made from a root, kind of like a yam, and it's pulped down. And the only way I can describe it, the consistency is like chewing gum and slimy mashed potato mixed together. It doesn't actually have much taste, but in your mouth it actually does feel really slimy. So you pray the missionary prayer, Lord, I'll eat it, and you keep it down. And we did, and he did. just that texture of slimy has stayed with me. I don't think I've eaten such a slimy food before in my mouth before. But it gives a very graphic picture of what the pit was like. It was a slimy, slimy pit, not pleasant. So it talked about the slimy pit and the mud and the mire. I think we're all pretty familiar with mud. We've had a bit of rain recently. There's quite a lot of mud around. But the word mire, what does the word mire mean? Maybe that's a little bit of an old word. Do you have some mud and mire on your property, Tony? Lots of mud and mire, yeah. Especially at the moment. Yeah, so synonyms for mire are dirt, marsh, ooze, that's a good word, isn't it? Ooze, goo, swamp, and bog. That's how David felt when he was in the pit. Imagine walking through that. Not a pleasant experience. So David was stuck in a pit. We don't know in this particular psalm what specific situation David was in. It probably wasn't a physical pit like Joseph and like Jeremiah. But the way he describes it is very vivid. And the picture I want to leave with you, like with the dog, when you're in a pit, there's no way out. There's nothing that we can do to get out of it. We can try, we can struggle all day long, but there's no way out of the pit. And that's where David found himself. I want to ask the question to us, are we the same sometimes? Do we sometimes feel as though we're in a pit? You don't need to answer me now, but just think back on your own life. Maybe you felt like that in the past, you've been in a pit, or maybe even right now, you're going through a difficult situation that seems like a pit and no way out to you. This can be true when we don't know God, when we're not Christians. John, thank you for beautifully leading the communion for us this morning. And John read these same words from John 3:16. We know those lovely words, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love that verse because it shows God's heart for us. But if we carry on down, the last verse of that, whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's the wonderful truth. But the gospel is very clear. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Romans 5:6 says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless or helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves from sin. Without God, there's nobody that can help us. Nobody can be with us 24/7. Nobody really knows us inside out. Nobody really knows the struggles that we're going through. Nobody else can take away our guilt and our sin. Only Jesus. Both in this life and in the next one. That's a pit we don't want to be in. We don't want to face the end of life without Jesus. It was lovely to hear your story, Tony, of your stepmom. Yeah, who's getting near the end of her life. But she's got that hope of going to be with Jesus. That's wonderful. Without that, there is no hope. We're stuck in that pit. But when we do know God, Christians can also feel as they're stuck in a pit sometimes. We're not immune to trouble. And I don't think we should pretend that everything is all going fine and have a big smile on our face all the time. David was honest before God. He felt like he was in that slimy, muddy, miry pit. When we face a pit, sometimes it can be a pit of our own making because we've messed up. Godly warrior King David saw a beautiful lady bathing on the roof and then committed adultery with her. And they had a son which died. That pit was of his own stupidity, his own making. So sometimes the pit is self-induced because we've just messed up. But sometimes we're in a pit that's totally out of our control. Maybe we've been sinned against, or maybe circumstances weren't favorable for us. Either way, it's still a pit. Remember the pit, not a nice place to be, very real, and no way out. So what do we need to do when we find ourselves in that pit? Let's go back to the psalm. Verse 1. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. I waited patiently. Do you know what I mean when I say there's waiting and there's waiting patiently? Not the same. Driving to work sometimes in the traffic, I see traffic jams, I see people waiting, and I see people waiting patiently. Not the same, definitely. Some people get really angry. So waiting and waiting patiently are not the same. Now, I don't want to just take a few verses from this psalm and then apply them to all of our lives and make a magic formula, because it's not like that. I just simply want to say what David stated in the psalm. He tells us three things that happened. The first thing he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's an attitude, to decide to be patient. Maybe we don't understand the situation we're going through, but we can decide, okay, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to be patient. I'm patiently waiting for the Lord, not just idly waiting with no purpose. He turned to me and heard my cry. So what's our part in it all? Is to wait patiently in our troubled time and cry to the Lord. We can all do that. That's not beyond any of us. We can wait and we can certainly cry out to God. Cry out means cry. Shout if you need to. Be yourself. Be real with God. What was the result? He turned to me and heard my cry. Isn't that incredible? Almighty God turned to me. It's the idea of somebody tall, almost turning and bending down and listening to the cry. Maybe a parent with a child listening to that cry. And I've spoken about these verses before in Exodus 3, but it reminded me of it so much I wanted to include them again. Israelites were in a pretty deep pit in Egypt, in slavery. And they cried to God many times without seemingly any answer. But listen to these verses. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. God sees us. God hears us. God is concerned. So I have come down. Isn't that like Jesus coming down? So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That sounds better than a slimy pit, doesn't it? The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and all the otherites, probably. And now, the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have again seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, as was to Moses, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. We can be 100% sure when we cry to God, he sees us and he hears us. It's all through Scripture. It's a promise. God is not a distant God. God is near to us. So verse 1b, he turned to me and heard my cry, but God didn't just listen to the cry. We can listen and then do nothing. God took action. It says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. In the same way, God will lift us up too. And I think, again, it's incredible that Almighty God would turn and hear us when we cry to him. So in this case, whatever David's situation was, God enabled him to be lifted out of it. How can we be sure that God's going to do that for us? I'm not King David. I'm not a Bible character. The communion table is there. Jesus showed his incredible love for us by giving his life on the cross for us. Jesus has already been there. Jesus has been through suffering. Jesus has been through a pit himself. He's able to help us. But God will always hear and respond to his children's cries. I remember seeing a program on TV where they had lots of little crawling, not quite baby, between baby and toddler. They had them stationed on one side of the studio, and they had the parents at the front, and it was kind of a game show. You had to call your child, and the one that crawled and got to their parent first was the winner. And it's amazing. It sounded like a racket, a din of all these parents shouting and babies, toddlers, and they all heard the voice of their mum. As a parent, you know what it's like. You know your kid's voice. You know your kid's cry. Because you're just used to it. It's not just in you. And it's the same with God. We can be sure when we call to him, he knows us and he hears us. Sure as sure as sure. The way that God answers might not be in the way we expect, and it doesn't mean an end to our trouble. I don't believe in preachers who say, come to be a Christian and everything will be perfect, because that's not in the Bible. God has promised to help us. Yes, 100%. Many of you will be familiar of the book, which has been made into lots of movies, I guess, called The Hiding Place, with Corrie ten Boom. In the Second World War, many Jews were put in concentration camps. Corrie ten Boom and her family did their best to hide Jewish people in their house until somebody betrayed them, and then they were arrested. I think it was the father and Betsy, the sister, and Corrie ten Boom all went to Ravensbrück camp, where there were terrible, terrible conditions there. I don't want to tell you some of the things that went on in the camp there, but again, it wasn't very pleasant at all. And Betsy, the sister, one day said, thank you, God, for the fleas. Can you imagine saying that? I don't think I'd willingly say, thank you, Lord, for the fleas. The reason was, let me read for you, in a flea-ridden bunkhouse, so filthy that no guard would enter, Corrie and Betsy ten Boom would open the Bible and read it aloud, waiting as different voices translated the life-giving words into German, Polish, and French. The guards didn't want to go into that room. It was so dirty, and the fleas were there. But they saw in that, wow, that's God's blessing. We can have Bible studies. Somehow, Corrie had managed to have a Bible with her there in the prison camp. She read it out. It was translated, and many people were encouraged by that. While in Ravensbrück, bedded down with the fleas, sickly Betsy shares a post-war vision with Corrie, her sister. She said to her, you must tell what you've seen. Not merely the brutality, there was plenty of that, but also how the love and forgiveness found in Christ surpasses the evil and hate of the world. Corrie, you must tell, Betsy implores, how God was there among them in their deepest suffering, in the midst of it. Betsy died in the camp. She went to be with God. Was she delivered? Yes, she died and went to be with her Savior. Was it a happy ending in worldly terms? Probably not. But God was right there. Betsy survived. Her mission was to go and tell people what God had done for them there. They were both delivered in different ways. I want to read these words of Betsy because I think they're very, very profound. This is what she said to her sister. We must tell people what we have learnt here. We must tell them there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. They will listen to us, Curry, because we've been here. I'll read that again. We must tell people what we've learned here. We must tell them that there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. They will listen to us, Curry, because we've been here. That's the fact we need to hold on to, the church family. God is with us in the troubles. God is with us in the pit. Their pit didn't go away. They're the same. The fleas were still there. God didn't miraculously whisk the fleas away. But God was right there with them in the midst of that, giving them his peace. Jesus suffered on the cross and bore the weight of our sin so that we might have access to eternal life with him. For all you who've been waiting, let's go back to our part two of our dog. Thank you, Anna. Do the first video, some dog lovers would be after me after the service. I just thought that was a beautiful picture of what it's like in the pit for the dog. So clearly, no way out. But verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. You know what it's like when you're walking on mud? You just feel like you might slip at any time. You're just looking for a firm place to walk on. When you're on that solid ground, it makes such a difference. And that's what God did for David. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Out of the pit. Whew, thank you, Lord. So what's that firm place for us? So it might not be a literal physical pit. I think the firm place for us could be many things. It could be God's comfort. The Holy Spirit is known as the comforter in our lives. It could be peace in a particular situation. God's forgiveness. All of those things just give us that firmness that we need in our lives. The knowledge that we are loved and valued and cherished by God gives us a firm foundation to walk on. The certainty of an eternity with God, free from sorrow and pain. That firm place is knowing God, our Father, being in relationship with him. The psalm David also wrote in another place, God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. So God may lift us out of the pit that we're in. If so, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We can always pray for that. But God may not lift us out of our current situation, but he's promised to be with us right there in the midst of that. If so, once again, praise the Lord for that. God is Emmanuel. Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that good news? Can I have a smile? What was the result? Verse 3. David said he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. When David saw that God had lifted him up, the result was praise. I think the same for us. When we realize all that God's done for us, the result is praise. Thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. There's incredible power in praise. We see those crazy stories in the Old Testament where God said, send the musicians out in front of the army. If I was a musician, I might think a bit, can I go behind the soldiers, please? But God said, no, there's power. We want the praise to be leading the people. And we talk about win-win and win-lose. Praise is definitely a win-win. When we praise God, we feel good because we're concentrating on how wonderful God is. I'm sure God is blessed by our praise too. So praise is a wonderful thing. That's another thing I'm learning through Psalms, how important praise is. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but to praise God anyway. The last part of our three verses, verse 3b, David wrote this, many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. We saw before that God saw, but other people will see us, will see our lives. Your testimony, your personal story of what God has done in your life will be seen by those around you that you interact with every day. People know, people can spot a fake a mile away. So again, I'm not talking about us as Christians wandering around all the time with a big plastic smile saying, praise the Lord. Isn't life wonderful when things are tough? Not like that. People want real, want us to be real. If we're going through a hard time, it's okay to tell our non-Christian friends, life's not so easy at the moment, but I'm praying to God that God will give me the strength to get through this. Or I can see your situation. I'm praying for you. So let's keep our lights shining in big ways sometimes, in small ways sometimes. Why? What's the result? Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. And the New Testament passage that Tanya read for us from 2 Corinthians, it talks about God comforting us in our troubles. You did well to get through that word then. So God comforts us in our troubles. Why? It says in those verses, when we are comforted, we then can comfort others with the comfort that we've received. It's a circle. We struggle. God comforts us. We see people maybe in a similar situation. We can pass on that comfort to them. Yeah, that's the way it's meant to be. So if you've been through something tough in your life, it's not easy, but that can be a testimony to God's glory. When we've been through things, we can relate to people who've been through those things. We can share with them. And many will see and fear the Lord because we've been real. We've been honest. So I'm just going to put this psalm up on here to close those three verses. Just want to give us a minute to stop and think and meditate. So where are you right now? You don't need to say again. What's God wanting to say to you through these few verses? And I'll just read one meditation to close and give us a minute to think. Just look on those verses. See what God wants to say to you through them. This final meditation is in the form of a poem. So just listen to these words. My child, I know things haven't been going right. Heaviness in the day and tears at night. At times you can't seem to feel me near, and you even wonder if I'm really here. But yes, I am here, and I do understand, even though it's not going the way you planned. I never promised you a trouble-free life without any stress, worry, or strife. What I did promise is to always be with you, and my promises are faithful and true. I too have walked this earth just like you, experienced the joys and struggles too. I was rejected by those that called me friend. They fled and deserted me at the end. An unjust arrest, flogging and trial, mixed with a good friend's denial. Going to the cross was, however, no mistake. My life was mine to give or take. I did it so that all may have access to me, to forgive sins and set people free. Yes, at times I may choose to deliver you out of those troubles that so bother you, but either way, I am right here, not far away. That's my solid promise to you today. So we thank you, Lord, for this psalm. Thank you, Lord, for the honesty of David in crying out to you in his difficult situation. And thank you, Lord, for the certainty of your word that you always hear us when we cry to you, and you will act on our behalf, Lord, in the way that you know is best. So I pray for each of us, Lord, especially if there are any that feel like they're in a pit, in a difficult situation at the moment. You will give them the courage, Lord, to cry out to you and wait patiently for you and to know your hand acting in the midst of that situation, Lord. Praise you for your promise to never leave us or forsake us. Help our lives, Lord, to reflect that to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.